We thank you. Father, I count it an honor myself to minister your word and to serve you in ministry. And I give you glory and I give you praise and I give you honor. Not only that, Heavenly Father, but I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here in this place. I thank you for that. With those that are watching, I thank you for that. And Father, we're going to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua, the 24th chapter. Now in Joshua chapter 24, I'm going to begin reading verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods," notice the little g, "and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. Verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods," little g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Capital L. Read that again. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Hallelujah. And so I want to share with you a few minutes. And my subject is, you must choose. Or you can say, sometimes I give you more than one choice in subjects if you want that, but you must make a choice. You must make a choice. You must make a choice. Where we are right now spiritually, where we are right this second spiritually, And you do understand that not everybody is on the same spiritual level, right? Not everybody's on the same spiritual level. Our spirits have to be fed. Our spirits have to be nourished. And it has to be fed the Word of God. That's how we grow spiritually, through the Word of God and through spending time with God and fellowshipping with Him. That's what helps us grow spiritually. Oh, and by the way, that includes not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. Praise God. So that's how we grow spiritually. But our spiritual maturity is directly parallel to the amount of time that we have spent feeding it. Developing it. Doesn't have a whole lot to do, although this certainly plays a part. But doesn't have a whole lot to do with how long you've been saved, because, you know, there's some folks that's been born again for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and they still have not developed spiritually the way they should have, or the way God really wants them to. Hallelujah. Now, I understand that it does take time to develop yourself spiritually. See, that's the reason the Bible strictly says that a novice, which is a new Christian, should not pastor a church. I don't know how well that went over, but it's still in the Bible. Why? Because you have to be spirit. You have to develop yourself. You have to work, because it's a big responsibility to shepherd people. It's not about the money. It's not even about the big church. It's not even about who you know or don't know. It's not about who you rub shoulders with. It's all about being where God wants you to be, when He wants you to be there, doing what you're supposed to be doing while you're there. And being ready for the task when you get there. Praise God. But our spiritual growth, especially if we've been saved a long time, is parallel to the amount of time we have put in to developing it. Amen. Do you know if you don't eat properly, your body will reflect it. Right? That's right. If you don't eat properly, it'll be reflected in your body. It'll be reflected in how you feel. Well, let's move on. I'm talking about choices. And it's not just spiritual. Even financially, some people are where they are right now because of choices that they made in the past. There's a whole lot of folk in debt right now that shouldn't be. Well, I thought y'all would have been shouting, jumping the chairs, and we don't have any chandeliers to swing from, but I thought y'all would have been dancing in the aisles or doing something. Now, y'all know that's the truth. Amen. Hey, I'm talking from experience. We've been there. I've made bad decisions in the past, and it cost me. But now, just because you made a bad decision, you don't just throw in the towel and quit. You got to keep moving forward. But Joshua says, for me and my house, we make a choice. We will choose. We will serve the Lord. Now notice what is said here. I want to go back there again. Go back to verse 14. Let's take another look at it. It says, now, therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt. What's the next three words? Notice he told them, serve the Lord. Now I can stand before you, or anybody for that matter, or any pastor or minister for that matter, can stand before the people and tell them all day long, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. But it's the people that make the final decision. You know, us ministers, we're called to preach to you the word of God, but we can't make you do anything. And we're not supposed to. That's not our job, to try to make you do anything. Our job is to minister to you the word of God. Then you choose. Now he told him, serve the Lord. That's as far as he can go with it. And then he went on, verse 15 once again, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, in other words, if you don't think that's a good idea to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I'll finish reading verse 15 once again. You're going to serve something. You're going to serve something. It is something that's going to get your attention. It's something that you're going to go after. Is it money? Is it material things? You know? Romance? Now, romance is not wrong if it's done right. Y'all hear? You heard what I just said? Romance is not wrong if it's done right. right according to the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. But my point is, folks choose who or what they want to serve. Let me move on. So he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But again, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to seek after God. We're going to chase after God. We're going to chase after the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to take it a little bit further for a few minutes. Every day that God gives us, we have to make choices. We have to make choices. And we have to make the right choices. And sometimes making the right choices is the hardest thing to do. I believe that if we just gathered around a semicircle and began to talk, and if everybody was honest, you'd be surprised at some situations or senses that people may be going through, which we're certainly not going to do that. But you know, you'd probably be surprised, because everybody lives on earth. And if you live on the earth, there are challenges that you have to face sometimes. But I like what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You can turn over there if you want to. Just give it to me on the screen, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We make choices in life. We make choices as to whether we're going to serve the Lord or whether we're going to serve someone or something else. But as a Christian, if you're already saved, you know the Lord. But yet and still, there are challenges in your life. There are things that you are dealing with in your life that you have to make a decision on. Because, listen to me, if you don't make the right decision, you are going to be defeated. Listen to this. You win in life because you make a decision that you're going to win. I'm going to say that again. We win in life because we make a decision that we're going to win. I was sharing with my children the other day, we were talking. And I remember as a young man, right, even as a child, I'd hear people talk. I'd hear the grown-ups talk. And mostly what they said was negative stuff. And some of you can relate to it in your own family, just like I can in mine. We were told what we can't do. We were told that we could only go so far. We were told that some of us were told that we would never amount to anything. Sometimes folk was ask you the question, well, who's your daddy? Who's your mama? Well, you tell them, well, that tells me right there you're not going very far. Because, boy, you're going to be just like your daddy. Or, girl, you're going to be just like your mama. And they didn't go anywhere, and you are not going anywhere. I love my mama and I love my daddy, and they're both with Jesus right now. I love them and I honor them. They were my parents, and I honored them and respected them as a child, and I still do. But they were my parents. Jesus became my Lord. You hear me? Jesus became my Lord. So when Jesus became my Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about me. It's what he says about me that counts. Now, I have to make a decision. Am I going to be a loser in life, or am I going to be a winner in life? Am I going to lose out, or am I going to win? Well, my Lord is a winner. My Heavenly Father is a winner. And I have a winner living on the inside of me. I want you to right now, those of you watching the live stream, if you are with somebody, you tell them the same thing. Look at somebody and tell them there is no excuse for us to lose. No excuse to be a loser. But if you're ever going to be a winner, you got to first make the choice. You got to make a choice that I'm going to win. Now that's what happened to me. I made a choice that I'm going to win. I got a hold of the Word of God, and the Word of God changed my life. Changed my life. Every negative thing people said about me, I was determined that it would not be the truth. Anybody else out there is like me? Glory to God. Glory to God. You can't help the circumstances surrounding your getting started. Y'all listening to me? Do I have your attention? You can't help the circumstances surrounding how you got started, but you can do something about how you end. And it's not all about how much money you got, or how much money you were born with, or whether you were born with a silver or gold or whatever spoon or fork in your mouth. That has nothing to do with it. It's really who you know. And when I say who you know, I'm not talking about some important person that's rich. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about him. Look at somebody and tell them, say, choose to be a winner. Choose to be a winner. But now, let me say this. Like I said, I'm not going too much longer. If you're going to be a winner, you got to be strong. You hear me? Let me say that again. If you're going to be a winner, you got to be strong. As if you were in a boxing match, if you are a winner, you've got to be willing to take a punch and still be on your feet. Amen. And if you happen to faint the wrong direction and get put on the canvas, get back up. Get back up. Because you've already made a decision. I am a winner. I'm not losing in the battle of life. I'm not going to lose. And if you're going to be a winner, throw all your excuses in the trash. No. Sometimes when you throw it in the trash, sometimes you're tempted to go back and dig it out again. Burn them. Burn all your excuses for losing. Because you can find people all day long. They are less than a dime a dozen that will be in agreement with you, telling you that you are a loser and you'll never make it. And most time they tell you somebody else's fault. Poor thing, it's not your fault you losing out. Bless your heart. That mean old somebody else is keeping you from winning. No, if you're losing, it's your fault. Amen. Now, that might sound a little harsh. But now, sometimes it's because of a lack of knowledge. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's the reason, whatever you do, you seek knowledge. What I mean by that, from the Word of God, get in the Word of God and get to know Him and find God's will for your life. I say find God's will for your life. And don't listen to the naysayers. Praise God. So now, I had them to put Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 up there. Put it back again. Listen what it says here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Notice that doesn't say be weak. It doesn't say finally, my brethren, be weak in the Lord. Because you're just going to have to put up with and just suffer anything that come down the pipe. There is no solution, no answers for you. No, it says finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Doesn't it say that? Amen. I say, doesn't it say that? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of you, and maybe some of you that's in the sanctuary with me now, maybe some of you that are listening to me on the stream, you're in a situation right now, you feel weak, you feel helpless, and you do not know what to do. You don't know what to do. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen to what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong. Be what?
Strong.
Be strong. Therefore, my son, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, give me that same, give me that same verse from the New Living Translation. Excuse me. Hallelujah. My water, please. All right. I did something yesterday I probably shouldn't have done. Went out and mowed my grass in the dust and everything. I forgot. I was so excited that I got my new lawnmower blades on. I couldn't get them on by myself. had to have the help of my wife. And I just had to have some help. And I pulled and I pulled and I pulled and I pulled all day long. Well, not literally all day long, but I just couldn't do it. Y'all follow me? I just couldn't do it. So finally, I got my wife out there to help me with her strength, and I was able to break those nuts off of that. What has this got to do spiritually? I don't know, but I'm telling anyway. Broke the nuts off of the lawnmower blades, and I got my blades replaced, and I was so excited about getting them replaced, I just jumped on my lawnmower and went out and mowed my grass, dust and all. And I usually wear a mask to keep the dust out of my nose and so forth, but I didn't do it. But anyway, Jesus is still Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Now we back at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Just needed a little swallow of water there. But so this is the New Living Translation. It's Timothy, my dear son. Listen how it's read. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Be strong through the grace that God gives you through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. You may feel weak. You may feel helpless. You may not can see your way out. You may feel like giving up. But how many of you know that giving up is a choice? Amen. Quitting is a choice. Any of you ever been tempted to quit? I hope you didn't. I've been tempted many times over the years dealing with different things. You know, you say, forget this. I don't have to put up with this. I can do No. It's a choice. But you can make a choice to win because like the apostle, and we'll read that. We'll read that in just a few minutes. But we have to understand that God has graced us. He has graced us to win. Wherever I am right now, God's grace will see me through. God's grace will see me through. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll just begin reading at verse 8. It says, and this is the Apostle Paul, he says, concerning this thing, and he had, how many of you know that Paul had to deal with a lot? Everywhere he went, the devil was stirring up trouble for him. Y'all know that, don't you? Everywhere he went to preach the gospel, somebody would allow the devil to use them, and they would always stir up trouble for him. And so He's the great Apostle Paul. God used him to write a lot in the New Testament. But he didn't have it easy. He didn't have it easy. But this man was a winner. This man made decisions to win in spite of. Everybody say, in spite of. In spite of. Let me say, I'm going to read this, but we have to understand that you are not a winner unless you have won. Now, we know that through Jesus Christ, we are winners. Jesus defeated the devil. Amen. Our sins are forgiven. But there are things in our, listen to me, there are things that we have to deal with in our personal life that we have to take authority over and make a decision. I'm going to win in this situation. It has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. You're saved, but you have to make a decision that I will not allow this thing to defeat me. I will not allow this to whip me. So now, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. You know, sometimes we have to go through tough times. But that's what make you a winner. And he said to me, the Lord did, listen to what he said. Oh, you got to get this, folks. My grace is sufficient for you. Let me stop right there. My grace is sufficient to carry you through anything that you have to deal with in your life. You still here? My grace is sufficient for you. Look at what he said. Oh, I love this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Y'all listening to me? Oh, Lord, I just feel so weak. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know how we're going to make it. I just don't know. I just feel so inadequate. I feel so inadequate. Sometimes we make this statement, I feel so unqualified. First of all, if God sets you there, you've got to understand that his grace is sufficient. Let me finish reading the verse. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you know when the odds are against you and you win anyway, who gets the glory? Hallelujah. And listen what the Apostle Paul said. After Jesus told him, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And listen what the Apostle Paul said. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities. In other words, my weaknesses and my inabilities. Glory to God. Put verse 9 back up there. Most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, which is my weaknesses, my inabilities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Folks, I want the power of Christ resting upon me. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God wants to take us up another level in the anointing, but because we quit, sometimes because we get frustrated, we give up, we throw in the towel, we say, I can't put up with this anymore. And God is telling us, the Lord is telling us, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. If you don't quit, this is going to move you up another level in me. That's the reason he said, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now verse 10, please. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Listen to what he says. Can you say this? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, you ready for this? For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm what? Hallelujah. In other words, I've had to deal with infirmities. I've had to deal, he said, with reproaches. I've had needs in my life. How many of you have had needs, but God came through for you? He says, I've had persecutions. People mistreated me. People have talked about me. I've even had distresses in my life. Things just didn't work out the way I thought they were going to or the way they should have. But for Christ's sake, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because what I can't do in my own strength, Jesus Christ steps up and get it done for me. And therefore, he gets the glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But guess what? You got to make a choice that you're going to quit. You know, Paul could have chose to quit. He could have said, forget this. I am so tired of mess. Every time I go somewhere to try to, to preach the gospel, somebody always stirring up stuff. And I just want to serve the Lord. I have had it. I'm going into the tent making business permanently. He didn't do that. This great man of God, in spite of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, in spite of all that, at his end, he said, I finished my course. Amen. I kept the faith. Amen. Through the infirmities, through the reproaches, through the needs, through the persecutions, through the distresses, I kept the faith. I didn't quit. That was a choice he made. He made a choice, I will not quit on God, and I will not quit on me. Amen. Like Joshua said, we made a choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's a choice we made. The wind may blow, the river may rise, but we moving forward anyway. Because when I'm weak, he is strong. Give God glory, will you? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for never forsaking us. Hallelujah.